Hello, I'm Caroline Baum and welcome to the Booktopia Buzz for June. I'm sorry if I sound a little bit sniffly, I've got one of those seasonal colds. We're currently in the middle of a long election campaign, being blitzed with rhetoric. I think a lot of it sounds pretty tit for tat and tired, and we're all looking for leadership, vision and real inspiration. We seldom get it from our politicians, but writers, I think, deliver it in spades. So vote for them. In Australian fiction this month, we've got a book by Jake Harper called The Dry. Now, the publisher of this debut novel is very confident about its appeal, and it's easy to see why. It has all the ingredients to be a bestseller and sucks you in from the very first page. It's a prime example of rural noir, a psychological suspense crime novel set in the bush. The town of Kiawarra is gasping, dehydrated and despairing. So when farmer Luke Hadler commits suicide, there are plenty of other farmers who've contemplated the same way out. Except that Luke also shot his wife and young son, leaving only baby Charlotte wailing in their home. When Luke's closest friend Aaron Falk from adolescence comes back to town for the family funeral, he's dragged back into a past that includes a shared secret. Now a policeman working in the city on financial white-collar crime, he decides to investigate the Hadler deaths. The Dry builds up gradual layers of tension and suspicion at a pace that fits the slower rhythms of country life while assigning motive to several townsfolk. Or I should say possible motive, I guess. As the investigation progresses, the stain on Luke's reputation resurfaces. This is a compelling page-turner with a real sense of the undercurrents that can tear a small community apart. Another Australian fiction debut this month is The Healing Party by Micheline Lee. Hong Kong Chinese daughter Natasha comes home to visit her born-again Christian parents when her sister tells her their mother is dying of cancer. But then her father announces that his faith friend has told him that there will be a miracle and the cancer will be healed. So the family decide to hold a healing party to celebrate divine intervention. You can see where this is headed. The scene is set for spiritual combustion. Malaysian-born Lee demonstrates an assured touch as if this were personally familiar terrain. The dynamics between mother and daughter are particularly convincing, with the daughter wanting to know more about her mother's past and the mother fobbing her off with standard replies that reflect her cultural sense of privacy, loyalty and deference. As for the father, Lee depicts him as a born-again bully in his passive aggression and absurdly blind faith. The combination of a family on high alert while dealing with terminal illness, cultural difference, blind faith and grieving provides all the momentum and drama a reader could wish for. And now to some Australian fiction by anything but a debut writer, in fact one of the veterans, I could say, of Australian writing, and that's Nick Earls, who's published the second of the five novellas in the Wisdom Tree collection. This one is called Venice. These slim, beautiful little books, which you can hold in the palm of your hand, are being published monthly, starting from last month, May. Venice is every bit as satisfying as the first book was. It's a beautifully observed chamber piece of family dynamics where everything important is left unsaid, but the atmosphere is charged with meaning. The story is narrated by Ryan, who's been downsized from his job as a mining engineer and has come to stay for a while with Natalie, his sister, an artist who's waiting to hear whether she's got the commission for the Venice Biennale. He's also, of course, staying with her husband, her dentist husband Phil, who's very proud of his wine fridges, and their son Harrison, who is four and just discovering the world through the apps on his tablet. Earls has a fine-tuned ear for dialogue that is ambiguous and knows how to leave the spaces for the reader to fill in the gaps. Subtle, ironic, restrained and understated, this is marvellous writing about contemporary life and relationships. And now we come to the big daddy of the month, as it were. This book is just so huge in every sense. This is Barkskins by Annie Prue, one of everyone's favourite writers, I think. Now, at its most powerful, fiction can take you into an unfamiliar world and make you care about the people who live in it, as Prue did so memorably in The Shipping News. Her latest work is monumental, as imposing and daunting as the giant redwoods of California. It's about 700 pages long, I think. Now, I mention those towering trees because it is they, or rather forests, that are her subject here. And if that sounds unexciting, well, think again. Think of a magnificent, majestic project that only Annie Prue would have the dogged lunacy to attempt. The span of her ambition here is breathtaking. Nothing short of global, Barkskins is like a giant, great, big tree, its branches spanning three centuries and several continents, instead of focusing tightly on a small community, as she did in The Shipping News. Like any vigorous forest, her pages teem with life. Her characters are always visceral, plain, of looks and of speech. Prue fills in her vast canvas with the tiniest detail as she weaves a dramatic history of the great depletion of the world's oldest forest by loggers, beginning in the 17th century. While the men are doing the business of chopping things down, the women are the keepers of secret knowledge of healing and recipes. The people in these pages are tough, wily, violent, and greedy. Prue knows them better than you know your own family. She's also humorous in that uniquely deadpan droll way of hers. At one point, when one of her early traders boasts of working hard, sleeping hard, and eating moose nose, I could not help but think of Monty Python's lumberjack song. I cut down trees, I eat my lunch, and, well, you can look up the rest if you don't know the lines. This is a magnus opus in every sense. Epic in size, scope, and size of cast, but richly rewarding for those with the commitment to devote to it. Time is a central character in the novel, and so it's fitting that Prue should demand it of her readers with such a commanding grasp of how the past has produced the decimated present. This is an immersive experience like no other. And now to non-fiction, and actually the book that I'm choosing as my book of the month, which is called A Long Time Coming by Melanie Joosten. Anyone who has an elderly parent, family member, or friend in their care or concern needs to read this immensely acute and sensitive collection of essays about old age and our attitudes to it. Readers who found a great deal of wisdom and practical compassion in Atul Gawande's global bestseller, Being Mortal, will immediately grasp how this book continues the conversation we need to have, indeed must have, about what kind of society we want to be in relation to our senior citizens. Those who've become invisible, those who are patronised and talked down to by strangers, those who've become homeless because life did not play out according to the script they'd imagined for themselves, those whose mind has wandered off into a fog, those who find themselves utterly alone with all their tribe gone. Joosten writes with unvarnished clarity and empathy. The combination cuts through like a laser to what is most essential and urgent, most shocking and distressing about the current state of things. She calls on younger feminists to turn their attention to their older sisters, who've been overlooked or neglected by the movement in the urgent and understandable quest for equal pay, maternity leave, and other rights. Policymakers, carers, relatives, and anyone who cares in the true active sense of the word will find little solace here, although there are moments of shining and uplifting humanity, often where you least expect them, as well as valuable information about resources you may not be familiar with. But the challenge that Joosten presents offers the opportunity to push for change. I predict this book will win everything it can, and should. More importantly, it should reboot a much-needed public debate about aged care at a time when cuts to welfare are making the future look pretty dire. Our elders deserve better, and so one day will we. If we do nothing now, we'll be the ones robbed of dignity and identity and have no one to blame but ourselves. And since I've got sort of rather heated and passionate on that issue, I'll carry on, finally, with Tara Moss's wonderful new book, Speaking Out. Since she wrote her frank and powerful memoir, The Fictional Woman, Tara Moss has become an outspoken writer and activist. Always a feminist, she's now an ambassador for UNICEF, a campaigner for asylum seekers and many other causes, and has learnt how thick a skin you need to develop if you're going to step up into the increasingly shrill and combative public arena where women's voices are often interrupted and silenced. With her always calmly delivered views have come trolls and haters, as well as fans and followers. Speaking Out is the sister book to The Fictional Woman, the next step in the evolution of Moss as one of our most intriguing and accomplished media personalities. Here she shares the wisdom and some of the wobbly moments she's accumulated since her very successful book tour with her previous title, encouraging her female readers to find their voice and use it. This book has the practicality of how-to combined with a friendly tone. It is, in fact, very user-friendly. Along the way are tips about presentation, research, how to face down critics, deal with social media hostility and vicarious trauma. Now, few people will gain access to the kind of exposure and spotlight that Moss generates, but no matter where or when we want to defend a right, whether we're at a community meeting, a march, a rally, or any situation which requires eloquence, courage, indignation, or a desire for change, there are valuable tools and skills to be learned here from one of the best in the business. And by the way, there's also another book out this month by US columnist Lindy West called Shrill, which would be a great companion to Speaking Out. It looks at various unsavory aspects of social media and pop culture from the perspective of a feminist performer who uses comedy with serious intent. So there you are. That's my June selection for The Buzz. I hope you enjoy it and look forward to seeing you again next month.